Welcome back to the Catholic Answers Live super special Christmas special. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And have you ever just done something and you're halfway through it and you just regret it like crazy? Because I walked out into the hallway during the break between hours because a whole bunch of the Catholic Answers kids are in studios with us today. Not all of them, but a whole bunch of them are in. And we're feeding them cookies and cider and donuts and eggnog and all kinds of things. And I go out there and Thomas, who comes in every now and then and does the TikTok segment, is having a Nerf gun fight with Father Sam Key's kids in the hallways out there. Another kid has taken all of the balls off of the Christmas tree and just strewn them around. I don't know what for. Maybe it's a minefield. I'm not sure. But
these kids are out of control.
It is really not a good situation right now. We may need to call in backup and reinforcements. But it's peaceful here in the studio. So poor Darren is out there.
But the police are on the way.
Have we called the authorities?
Yeah, it's okay, going to be all right.
Just for Father Sam Keyes' kids, we need the authorities. I don't know about the other kids, but we're actually having a lot of fun. And with us this hour, Tim Staples. Tim, thanks for coming in and doing this.
Good to be with you, buddy.
Thanks for wearing the Christmas jacket. I'm very impressed.
You
are a person of great dignity.
I am keeping it.
Really? You're going to keep that?
I'm sorry, but it's mine now.
Okay. All right. I know I have no say in that. So. Very good. And back with us is the third of the tell me if I get any of this stuff wrong. The third of the Staples children, Rose Staples.
You're not wrong.
I can count to three. That doesn't mean I know which one is the seventh, but I know which one is the third.
Yes.
And Rose, thank you for coming back to do another segment with us.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. And by the way, I've lost a ton of respect for you knowing that you like eggnog.
Oh, she turned it around on me. Now, this is what Rose was saying at the break. And I do think you have a fair point, Rose. And we're gonna also continue our conversation about women and priestly ordination.
Yes.
But we got to do the important stuff first, and that is eggnog. I did not know that your father is a pro eggnog advocate, and now it's you against two of us, and that does seem unfair. But I said you could have airtime to defend your negative view of eggnog. This an issue again, Rose. This is an issue that is dividing families. That's dividing our nation, and you are on the anti-eggnog side. Why is that?
Well, I don't know. Look, my dad makes me drink it every single year.
Well, there you go. There. Okay, so trauma is rule number one. I mean, item one.
Now, just in defense, I urge her to try it again because I know eventually she's going to love it.
It is called force.
All right, Rose. So besides the trauma of being forced, and I had the same experience with broccoli, and I love broccoli now. What else? What are your feelings or thoughts on eggnog?
Well, the fact that, number one, he's forced me to drink it my whole life.
We already established that, Rose. You're circling back now.
I have no choice here because I'm facing two of you now.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Okay, so number two is the fact that, it's the flavor. It just tastes. I can taste the egg in it.
Yeah. Because I have to say, Rose, I absolutely love eggnog. But I was telling Darren this before the show. Like, as I'm drinking it, I know it's gross. I mean, I'm like, this is disgusting what I'm doing right now. But I just love it. So I do want to support you in that. It is disgusting, but it's so good disgusting. Egg, just delicious.
And let's face it, too. There are degrees of goodness here. Because there's
that's right.
Some of these folks who make eggnog, it watered down and it's not very good.
Yeah.
And then you have some that is just, this is so good. And when you now we can't do this yet, but Rose, when you're 21, I'm going to force you, I'm going to encourage you again.
Busted.
To have some with some brandy in it or some alcohol, some rum. Oh.
Yeah. And that makes, I have to say, I'll take it anyway. Put anything in it. Cinnamon on top, whatever. I don't care. I'll drink the eggnog. Yeah, whatever. However you do it.
Yeah.
And Rose, you are going to get to choose a Christmas present here. And just because I didn't know that, I really didn't. When I got cup of noodles as one of the presents, I didn't know your family loved cup of noodles. I didn't know that. So we have both shrimp and chicken cup of noodles available to you. But I just wanted to check in on the why women can't be priests question, because it is a question that we get a lot. It's a very serious question because
it is.
In the modern world, we have come, I think, to a more a greater consensus on the equality of men and women, which is an idea that comes from Jesus himself, the equality of all of us before God.
Amen.
So sometimes I think equality is thought of as sameness, you know, that we should all be able to do the same things.
Right.
So I don't know. Did you want to say any more on it?
Because yeah. Just to kind of dovetail on what Father Sam said earlier, remember this, Rose, that the priest, as Father mentioned, and this is one of the key reasons why the church cannot ordain women, is the church is the bride of Christ, right? And this really dovetails on what Father talked about. The priest acts in persona Christi, right? The document that Father mentioned, Ordinatio Sacerdotalis, is kind of a follow-up to an earlier document called Inter Insigniores, which means among the signs in Latin. But it gives six essential reasons why the church cannot ordain women. And one of those reasons, again, dovetails on what Father said, that idea of the church functions in persona Christi. And I love this part of the response. It said this: imagine if we had a movie. Now, I'm going to insert my own movie. I like to use the movie Patton. If you remember, Rose, I don't think you've seen that movie yet.
You showed it to me.
Yes. Okay, you did see Patton. But George C. Scott, just absolutely amazing. He was a better Patton than Patton was Patton. You know?
Yeah, he probably was, huh?
But he just plays it so well. But imagine, Rose, if we made Julia Roberts play the part of Patton. Do you think that would work, Rose?
No, I see a lot wrong with that.
Yes, can you imagine her in the general's outfit and with the pistol and the, you know? Of course not. Well, as the document points out, this is play acting. And yet we know there's something wrong. There would be something lacking if you have a woman play the role of Patton. Well, in the Mass, in the liturgy, and when the priest functions even outside of the Mass in persona Christi, we're not just talking about play acting here, Rose, but the priest actually becomes Christ for us. Through the Sacrament of Holy Orders, he is configured so closely to Christ. This is a great mystery, but the priest can actually say, and does, I absolve you of your sins in confession. When he holds up the sacred host, he says, this is my. Notice, he doesn't say this is Jesus' body. He doesn't say Jesus absolves you. He says, I absolve you. So this is far beyond play acting. He becomes Christ for us. So it would be extremely unfitting, to say the least, to have a woman in that role. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And when you consider as well how grace builds on nature, it really starts to add up. You start thinking, wow. And that now I add what I said earlier, just briefly, the church is the bride of Christ. See, so the priest acting in persona Christi, it's so fitting that he's a male because Jesus was a male. But when you think relationally, that Christ is also the bridegroom, right? And the church is the bride. And I know, Cy, in our culture today, we have a little problem with this.
Oh, I know. We can't even keep bride and the groom straight.
The whole, you know, marriage is essentially between one man and one woman. And so, you know, I put it this way, Rose. Think of it this way. If everybody is going to be the bridegroom, who's going to be the bride? You know, you got to have a bride here, okay? And so it's very important that we recognize that Jesus is the bridegroom, the church is the bride. And it would be contrary to nature as well as the revelation we've been given by God to have a woman playing the groom. Can't do it, okay? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm curious to see which Christmas present you're going to pick, Rose. Yeah. You want to tell us what you're going to... Have you
just
decided?
Just to tell you.
I'll just force you to give it to me. Anyway.
That is something you would do.
Oh, man.
Now, I'm only joking. We are joking here. Do not call CPS.
No, he's not. Call them. Call them, please. Somebody.
Really, Rose, I can't, looking here, I can't figure out what you're gonna take.
Well, you know it.
Like, I really don't know.
Let's see.
You're, You're just going to show us.
I'm choosing already.
Yeah?
All right. She's meandering about here.
Yeah.
You going to get the noodles? Oh, no. You got the socks.
She got the Christmas puppy socks. Nice, there Rose. Thanks, Rose. Thanks for coming in. And thanks for spending so much time with us. If you'd like, there's eggnog out there for anybody who wants it.
The eggnog war continues.
The eggnog war continues, says Rose. Okay. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of the super special Christmas special on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
All right.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Marcus Grody and his son John Mark talk about the journey home.
How do I feel about passing the baton to my son? I am very excited about that.
It's weird to be stepping into my dad's role here. I'm humbled and honored, obviously, by the privilege and by his confidence in EWTN's and the audiences. In some sense, this is something I've been around all my life.
The journey continues on The Journey Home, Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, only on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Tim Staples is our guest. It's open forum, but it's open forum for Catholic Answers kids. That's what we're doing for our last show before Christmas. It's a lot of fun. At least it's a lot of fun for me. I don't know if it's fun for anybody else, but I love it when all these kids come in and we
This is the highlight of the season, Cy.
Oh, I'm so glad that you think so, because I think so. And I do apologize for all the negativity around the eggnog wars. We probably shouldn't have brought that up. It's just a really divisive issue.
It's brutal, but you know what? On the positive side, there was not a single punch thrown.
No, it was very peaceful. Just debate. It's just debate. There's no violence. Up next, Claire is back. Hi, Claire. Thanks for coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you come back because you have another question or because you want to get another present or both?
Both.
Nice.
All right.
Very good. And I will tell you something about Claire, because we have a Claire that works here. A Claire that works here.
With an I.
She has an I in her name. And so Claire tells us all the time, she's Claire with no I.
There you go.
Which kind of freaked me out when she would say it, because she has two eyes.
Yes.
And why do you say you have no I if you have two eyes?
Because I have no I in my name.
Oh, you have no eye in your name.
That's what I'm talking about.
But you have two eyes in your face.
Like in my face.
Yeah, okay.
You have to remember, Claire, Cy is kind of slow, so you got
to
help
him. It takes me a while to catch on to some things. All right, I'm really looking forward to your question, and then I really want to see which present you came back for. So go ahead with your question, and then we'll find out about the present.
Is Santa real?
Is Santa real? Oh, that is such an important question, and absolutely yes, Santa Claus is real. His real name is Saint Nicholas, and he was a bishop way back.
Is Claus short for Nicholas?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
That's right. That's right. It's derived from Saint Nicholas. And by the way, there is an ancient tradition that tells us that St. Nicholas was actually present at the Council of Nicaea in the 4th century and got in a fight with Arius.
Was it eggnog related?
It was over eggnog. Yes. No, it was not over eggnog. But he was a very, very strong defender of our Catholic faith. And St. Nicholas also, Claire, loved the poor. And how the whole St. Nicholas thing got started is he actually would, during times of persecution, the Romans were very mean to Christians, Claire. They were very mean. And so he would get presents and sometimes drop them down the chimney, sneaking presents to the poor, food, and sometimes money. He would give money to the poor. And so that's kind of the tradition behind the Santa Claus with the red hat. In fact, the red hat comes from he wore a mitre. And that's kind of an adaptation of the mitre. It's just flopped over. See what I'm saying, Claire? Mm-hmm. And so that's where it comes from. So don't let anybody tell any Catholic Santa Claus isn't real. Yes, he is. but his name is Saint Nicholas, and he intercedes for us. He is in heaven. He prays for us. And so I tell my kids, you pray to Saint Nicholas for what you want for Christmas. And he can help you out through his intercession. But of course, more importantly, Saint Nicholas wants to get us to heaven. So he prays for our souls. Does that make sense, Claire?
Yeah.
All right.
Claire, you know what? I think maybe I should just pick out a present for you, and I'll decide. Or would you like to decide?
I always decide.
Oh, you always decide. Okay, Claire, you are a strong young woman. Now, here's the thing, though. I'm going to guess first which one you were going to pick, and then we'll see if I was right, okay?
Okay.
Because I think I know what you have your eye on. I'm looking at you, I think it's the shrimp-flavored cup of noodles. Is it the shrimp-flavored cup of noodles?
Wrong.
Wrong? It's wrong? That's wrong?
Yeah.
All right, well, come on up. Pick yours, and we'll see what you...
You're nearby it.
I'm nearby it? A panda bear. You picked the panda bear. I'm so glad you got it, Claire. And I'm so glad your mom works here. She's a great artist, Claire.
Bye, Thank Brooke. You, Claire.
Bye, Claire.
Bye. Look at that. She got present and ran.
I know. Did She's that? Like, I'm not talking
it's like,
anymore.
I got what I wanted.
I think we got, is Catherine coming next?
All right. Is that a Staples kid?
Catherine.
Go ahead and close that door.
I've never asked you this, Catherine, but I will guess that you are named after St. Catherine of Alexandria. That is my guess. No?
Catherine of Siena.
That's
Oh,
true.
You're named after Catherine of Siena.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you why I thought it might be Catherine of Alexandria. Because every day before we start the show, your father prays to St. Catherine of Alexandria.
And
we pray together to St. Catherine of Alexandria. So, but St. Catherine of Siena, what a beautiful saint.
Yes. And that's, by the way, her mom's favorite saint, would you say? Oh, mom just disappeared. But one of her mom's favorite saints.
It's Catherine of Siena.
And so it was her, and I lost the battle between Catherine of Alexandria and Catherine of Siena for
But they
her.
Spell their names the same, right? You can just kind of...
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
I say it's both, but yeah, it's Catherine of Siena.
I say it's both, too. How are you, Catherine?
Pretty good.
And I'm trying to figure out where everybody fits in your family, and I think you are number four. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Whoa. I'm getting better. Yeah. I'm getting better at this.
And there's mom. She's there now.
There's mom. Yeah, we were just talking about how you love Catherine of Siena. Yeah. All right. You're going to pick a present when you're done?
Yes.
Would you like me to pick it for you?
No.
All right. Go ahead with your question, Catherine.
Okay. So if Jesus is fully in every single host, then there has to be millions of him because we consume him once or twice a week.
Right. Okay.
Or more.
Wow. Good question.
So how can he be in all the hosts and yet be one Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, is that a good question?
That is a good question. That's a Staples level question.
That's right.
That's how I call them, Staples level questions.
And you know what this tells me? Because Catherine and I talked about this last night after dinner, didn't we, Catherine? Mm-hmm. But I must not have answered it well enough. Because
I'll just recycle that and get a present.
That's right. But Catherine, it is a very important question. And the answer, and by the way, there are Protestant apologists who will bring up this very thing and say, look, the Eucharist is insane because it means that there'd be millions of Jesuses. We've had that question put to us by Protestants, not just by inquisitive children. And so the answer is this. We have to understand, Catherine, the idea of substantial presence, right? Absent of what we call in philosophy accidents, or to make it simpler, appearances, okay? And this is what we mean by that. And Catherine and I already talked about this, so I think you got this part down.
Yeah.
When we talk about appearances, when I look at Catherine, I'm not seeing your entire substance. All I am able to see are your appearances, or your what we call accidentals, right? Your quantity, your quality, and your locality, right? That's what I see. And I can say of Catholic now, or of Catherine, if you increase your quantity, Catherine, that is, you get taller, you get bigger, does that change the substance of who you are?
No,
it does not. If you increase in your quality, that is, you get smarter, you get stronger over the years, does that change your substance? No. If you change your locality, you get up and walk over to the other side of the room, does that change the substance of Catherine?
No.
No, that's right. And so what we're talking about when we talk about quantity, quality, and your locality are accidental. They're not absolutely essential to your substance. Are you with me? Okay? So in that sense, then, Jesus can be substantially present in lots of different, millions of different places, localities, without changing his substance whatsoever. This is just kind of a fancy way that we philosophers and theologians say God can do anything that's not logically a logical contradiction. God can do anything. So think of this, Catherine. I don't know if I mentioned this last night to you, but in Mark 16, verse 7, Jesus appeared to two disciples. They were walking toward Emmaus in Scripture, and the Scripture says he appeared to them in another form, right? Now, what does that mean? It means he can. He has the ability to appear in various forms where the accidentals, right, his locality, his quantity, quality, can change. This means he could appear in all sorts of different forms if he so willed it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And because we know that locality, quantity, quality can change without changing the substance, he could appear in millions of different quote-unquote places at the same time and still be the one person, Jesus. Does that make sense?
No.
It's a lot, isn't it?
It's hard to comprehend.
It's very hard to comprehend.
It is. But you know what? You can always fall back on he's God and he can do it.
Yeah, which I have to admit to you, that's what I do most of the time.
That's right.
Because I just can't remember all of this stuff, but I know I trust in him, and I know that he can do it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, just saying, Dad, we can talk about this one thing for hours.
Yes, we could. Yeah. We talked a long time last night about it, didn't we? And you know what's amazing is I didn't come up with this question. We were talking about last night what each of our kids were going to ask today. And she came up with this question. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And wait till we get Mary in here, the 5-year-old. She came up, every one of these kids came up with their own questions. And
I have another one, but I'm going to do that later.
All right. Well, then you should come up here and pick your present.
That's right.
And then we'll,
pick your present.
What's Catherine going to get?
I want to see what she's going to get.
What is Catherine going to get? I know. There's a lot of stuff up there. But
we don't have all day now.
Well, I can talk while you're doing it, but I am going to announce whatever you pick. I got to sit. Boy, you are very precise. You're checking each thing out. Now, I don't know what that is, though. Turn that around. What is that? Is that a dog or a bear? That's a dog.
That's cute.
All right. Beautiful stuffed puppy dog with a pink bow in her hair.
Here comes the next one.
Is James coming back? We got James
coming
back again.
For round two. All right,
James. I'm just going to tell you something. And I was out in the hallway, and I saw you having a Nerf gun fight with somebody. How did that go, James?
Well, it's not over yet.
Okay. Are you hiding in here right now, or did you come to ask a question?
I came to ask a question.
All right. This is Father Sam Keyes' oldest son, James.
Gotcha.
Mr. Staples, James. I don't know if you've ever met before.
Hi,
James. All right, so what's on your mind?
Go ahead with your question, James.
Why is Jesus' birthday called Christmas?
Great question, James.
And our culture needs to hear this answer, so thank you for asking it. And the reason is it is a Catholic feast day. This is where Christmas comes from. It comes from the Catholic Church. Why? Because Jesus is really important to us. We want to celebrate his birthday. Now, in your family, James, do you celebrate the birthdays of all your brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
You want to know why? Because you love your brothers and sisters, and you want to celebrate their birthday. Well, in the church, of course, we want to celebrate Jesus' birthday, and we established this feast day, and we call it Christmas, because what is one of the most important things we do. In fact, the most important thing we do on Christmas, we go to Mass, right?
Yeah.
So we call this feast day Christ Mass. Christ Mass, which is short, and you take one S off, and it's Christmas. So it really is all about the fact that the most important thing we do on Christmas is we celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass, because what better way to commemorate Jesus' birthday than to celebrate the Mass? Does that make sense, James?
Yeah.
Well, that was an absolutely awesome question. And you know what? I think you should get a present for
Come
that.
Come on, let's see what you pick. Are you going to tell us, or are you just going to show us? Oh, what are you going to...
All Which right, one are you going
to
get?
James approaching and then we gotta the go Christmas to a break. Present table, and then we'll take a break as soon as James makes up his mind. There's a lot of presents now because Donna brought a whole bunch of stuffed animals in. Donna, the director of marketing, brought stuffed animals in. We may have to announce after the break
Those
because
cup of
James
noodles
is
look
really
good to
studying
me, man.
Right now. All right, we'll be right back with more of the super special Christmas special with the Catholic Answers Kids right after this.
While James ponders.
The recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade was a monumental victory for the pro-life movement. But the fight is far from over. With our new booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, we have produced the perfect tool to prepare you to have peaceful and convincing conversations to shed light on the truth about human life from conception to natural death. Catholic Answers is printing millions of copies of this booklet, and we plan simply to give them away. You can help us in two ways. First, by generously supporting this project. 25 cents prints one book. $2,500 prints 10,000, and so on. Second, by helping us distribute the booklet through your parish, your school, or the pro-life ministry you work with. Catholic Answers is going to blanket the country with Why We're Pro-Life, but only if you step up and help us. Thank you so much. For more information, visit whyweareprolife.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As Catholic apologetics have gotten stronger, Protestant responses have gotten stronger as well. And now they have their own answers to rebut the standard Catholic proofs. Don't fret, we've got you covered. In his new book, Meeting the Protestant Response, apologist Carlo Broussard gives well-reasoned biblical answers to Protestant comebacks. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Response today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
This is Dr. David Anders. Join us for an engaging hour of questions and answers about the Catholic faith here on Called to Communion, Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to the Catholic Answers Live super special Christmas special with the Catholic Answers Kids asking all of the questions. Our guest is Tim Staples, who has been kind enough to wear the ridiculous Christmas jacket through the entire hour. And by the ridiculous, I mean handsome. That's what I meant to say, handsome.
Of course.
And this is a real treat for us because a question all the way from Texas because Chuck Gallucci does some, well, let me describe it in detail, computer stuff. I have no idea beyond that what it is, but he does computer stuff. I think he made the Chuck, did you make the Catholic Answers app? Is that
the back end? Yeah, worked with the.
Well, that doesn't mean anything to me. Yeah. I don't know. He did the back end.
He did.
All
the
right.
Back end.
Yes, that's what I was wondering. Which end of the Catholic Answers app you had done? But Chuck moved to Texas along with about 45 million other Californians.
Yes.
How do you like Texas, Chuck?
It's really nice. It was pretty hot this year. It was pretty wild. But the people are fantastic.
Yeah, I heard one day it hit like 116, at least in Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Felt like it was 4 months of that.
Wow.
Did it?
It was a brutal year. But everyone here says that it was an unusual year. So
yeah, they say that to Californians every year. Oh, this was a particularly bad one. Don't sell your house. Chuck has brought his son Joseph with him. Hello, Joseph.
Say hi. You got to talk a lot.
It's very nice. Very nice to see you.
All right.
Mr. Staples is going to answer your question. And then because you are in Texas, your dad will have to give you a cookie for being on the show with us. All right. Wait, why are you looking like that? Did you eat all the cookies, yeah. Chuck?
What's that?
Do you have a cookie for
that
him?
That means I get it too.
Okay, yeah.
You that can means I'll get one too.
Yep, you both get a cookie for being on. Joseph Gallucci, we're very glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Mr. Staples.
Yes.
Why does God live in heaven?
Why does God live in heaven? Okay. Well, I will narrow the focus here. And now, do you mean God or do you mean Jesus?
God.
Okay. Well, the reason why God dwells in heaven, first of all, we have to understand that God actually dwells everywhere, right? He is what we call omnipresent. So that means he's right here with me. He's right there with you. In fact, he is everywhere in the entire universe. But we do say that heaven is a very special place that has been created, in a sense, by Jesus, because when Jesus came to this earth, Joseph, he overcame sin and death and made it possible for us to go to heaven and to be with God. And so in that sense, heaven is a really special place created by Jesus for you, Joseph, and for me. In fact, Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. So you see how Jesus, in that sense, creates heaven for us, which is ultimately, we say in Catholic fancy theological language, heaven is the possession of God in the beatific vision. That's just a fancy way of saying that God's going to take us up, like Jesus said, to be with him where he is. And that's not so much a place as it is a state of being, that we will be made so holy by God's grace, Joseph, that we will be able to be with God. And I repeat what Jesus says, that where he is, there you and I will be able to be as well. That is exciting, Joseph. And just imagine, if you and I are faithful unto death and we go to heaven, we will have powers to do things like we could not even imagine. Imagine, Joseph, you'll be able to travel at the speed of thought. All you got to do, Joseph, is think, I want to be on Pluto. Bam, you're there. Would that be kind of cool, Joseph? Right? We'll be able to do things. In fact, it is believed, now this requires grace to be sure, because we can't do this by nature, but we'll be able to pass through walls just like Jesus, right? Jesus did in John chapter 20. We'll be able to pass through walls. We're going to be able to do incredible things, but the most important thing is we'll be able to be with Jesus and be with God. Does that make sense, Joseph? Yeah.
Yay. Joseph nodded. I'll do a play-by-play. He whispered thank you?
All right.
Nice fella. Chuck, how many do you have?
We have five. One of those are bacon. So in April, we're due with our fish.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Chuck. Another one in the oven.
Joseph, are you ready for another brother or sister? You think about it. Go ahead and think about it for a while. You got a few
he
months.
Said yes. He said yes.
He doesn't look convinced. All right.
How about this, Joseph?
Joseph,
let me ask Joseph one question. Do you want God to bring you a baby sister or a baby brother?
A baby brother.
Oh, okay. It always works that way. The boys want a boy, the girls want a girl. All right.
Chuck... Oh, who's that? You got to tell us who your other son is with you.
That's my oldest. That's Augustine.
Augustine. Augustine. Hi.
What a cool name.
Do you want to ask a question, Augustine, or no?
Ask a question?
No.
No? Okay, fair enough.
He's like, don't put me on the spot, Sai.
Bye. Bye, Galucci's. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks
Thank
for it's very nice.
We don't have to go.
Well, I know there's, but we have someone in the studio who's got another one, Joseph. So, but do, you know, you can do this anytime. We'll connect with you by Skype, and you can ask your question on the air anytime, anytime. And Augustine can too.
Look at Augustine.
All right. Bye, Galucci's.
All right.
Boy. It's a wild day here at Catholic Answers.
Oh, and, boy. Now, here comes the hardest question of all. My five-year-old, I think, is next, right?
Yes.
And oh, she's something. She's dangerous.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
You know just what to do. You just talk right into that microphone. Yeah. We're so happy to see you. Did you get anything to eat?
Yes.
What'd you have?
A mint.
A mint? Those, what, those like, they look like bark, kind of? Those kind of mints?
The salt.
Oh, the ones from Peggy's office.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're circles.
You.
And they have a hole.
Do you know something? Every time I see you, you're going to Peggy's office to get one of those. Every time I see you.
That's my favorite candy.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you got that. Are you going to ask your dad a question? You have to talk. You have to say yes or no.
And what's your name again? Can you say your name?
I know your name. Your name is Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrine. Is that your number? No, that's not your name?
It's Mary.
Oh, it's Mary. Oh, okay. I knew it was one of those two. One of those two. Go ahead, Mary. Ask your dad a question.
Who made God?
Oh my gosh, Mary.
Now, mind you, folks, all six of our kids came up with these questions on their own.
It's my favorite thing to say here.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, who made God? Well, the answer is, Mary, nobody made God.
But
okay.
When is Rose going to come in here?
Oh, she will.
Rose came in.
Yeah,
came
she
in.
Already came in.
Yeah. Okay.
But if we need another question, we'll get her back here. But
Anthony hasn't come, didn't we? Yeah.
No.
No, I don't think we've seen Anthony yet.
Is he going to come in?
I think so.
Yeah, we'll get him in next. Okay, Mary, here's the key. Okay, no one made God. And why is that? Because if somebody made him, he's not God. Because God is eternal. And know what that means, Mary? He has no beginning and no end. He is infinite.
And
nobody made him.
Is Mary the same?
Well, no. See, Mary is a human being just like you and me. She was born. She had a mama named Saint Anne who gave birth to her. But Mary was chosen by God and given what we call the plenitude of grace, the fullness of grace, to be a fitting sort of, she's kind of like the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament where God dwelled. So she is the New Testament Ark of the Covenant where God dwelled. See, the second person of the Blessed Trinity was incarnate and born in Mary's womb. Conceived in Mary's womb and then was born on Christmas Day. So Mary is not God, right? Mary is a human being like us, but she gave birth to God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity incarnate. And Mary, you and I'll have to talk about that one later, okay? but Mary, the most important point, Mary, the most important point is, who made God? Nobody, because he's infinite. He's eternal.
Mary came with 1,000 questions. You are ready to go, Mary. Okay, you can say something. Go ahead, Mary.
Because God is Mary's kid. She was crying because he was on the cross, and that's because he's her child.
That's right.
Mary, you're so smart.
You're right, Mary. But listen, and that's a profound truth. You're right. Mary wept profoundly. You can imagine she was at the foot of the cross when her son was suffering. And guess what, Mary? Her sufferings became a participation in the redemption of all, says Pope St. John Paul the Great in a wonderful letter called Salvifici Dolores in section 25. Pope John Paul says, Mary's sufferings were so great and so intertwined with Jesus's that they became a participation in our redemption. And so guess what, Mary? You and I, in a small way, now we can't do what Mary did because she's the only one that will ever give birth to Jesus, but in our small way, when we offer our sufferings with Jesus, we participate in our own redemption as well as the redemption of others as well. And that's an amazing thing to think about. But right now, Mary, you got to pick a present.
Mary, you can pick any of these presents up here.
That's right.
And I just want you to know there's shrimp noodles here if you'd like to pick shrimp noodles. You don't want shrimp noodles? I was sure you were going to pick shrimp noodles.
Val.
All right, I am very curious to see what you're going to take, and then we'll take a quick break. Catholic Answers Live, it's the super special Catholic Answers special with the kids of Catholic Answers asking their questions. Last hour, Father Sam Keyes, our guest. This hour, Tim Staples, our guest. Right now, Mary, absolutely mesmerized by a table full of gifts.
Pick one.
Have you decided yet? No? All right, we'll announce it when we... Oh, she picked the unicorn.
The unicorn.
She picked herself a unicorn.
All
right. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live Christmas special right after this.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN has its own official YouTube channel with tens of thousands of videos covering just about every conceivable topic of interest to Catholics. And best of all, it's free. Every day, EWTN adds new TV shows, live events, devotionals, homilies, and specials to its YouTube channel. Visit the EWTN YouTube channel today. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, super special Christmas special. We're moving almost into the sugar coma portion of the presentation. Yes. Although most of the children are still conscious, the Catholic Answers kids. They're starting to crash, Father? Okay. Most of the Catholic Answers, or a whole bunch of Catholic Answers kids have come in. They've been enjoying some of the Christmas treats and asking questions. And up next, we have Spider-Man. Welcome, Spider-Man. We're glad you're here.
Yeah.
Hi, Spider-Man.
Oh, hi there.
I thought that was Spider-Man because of your jacket. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's Anthony. Hi, Anthony Staples.
Hi.
It's nice to see you.
How old are you, Anthony Staples?
8.
Yay. He had to think about that a little bit.
That's right. It changes every year. You know, it's hard to keep track of.
That's right.
Anthony, do you have a question for your dad?
Well, yeah, I do.
Okay.
Why did the three wise men decide to follow the star?
Very good,
Anthony.
Now, are you sure you didn't put these kids up to this? I have to say it again. They all came up with their own questions. I love it. Well, Anthony, that's a really good question. And in fact, many believe that the three wise men would have known about the prophecy of Numbers chapter 23. I want to say it's right around verse 19. There is a ancient prophecy. You know what a prophecy is, Anthony?
Yeah,
when somebody predicts, a prophet predicts something that's going to happen in the future. And there's a prophecy that says, a star shall arise out of Israel, out of Jacob or Israel. And this prophecy, it is believed, may well have been shared with some of the ancestors of the wise men. Because remember this, Anthony, are you listening? Are you with me?
Yes, I am.
The wise men actually have a very ancient tradition behind them. It goes all the way back to Babylon. In fact, if you look at Daniel chapter 1, King Nebuchadnezzar had a court of wise men that he created out of all the different countries he conquered. He would take any, especially like the young, he wanted young youth that were wise in the sciences and such, and he had them brought into his court. And the idea was to help him be a smarter and better king by learning from all the different cultures of the world. Well, Anthony, when the Persians conquered the Babylonians, guess what? They continued with this tradition of having these wise men. Now, among these, what we call magi, and these were Persians, these folks, it is believed by some, would have had contact then with the God of the Jews through, as if you remember, Anthony, way back in Babylon, four of the members of Nebuchadnezzar's court were Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. So they were part of the discussion, talking about, you know, the intelligentsia stuff way back then. And so it's believed that the truth about the one God and so forth could have been communicated not just to the Babylonians, but also, and we see in the Bible, Nebuchadnezzar got a rude awakening about who God is, but also among the Persians. So imagine this, Anthony. There is the founder of a very, very famous religion among the Persians. It's called Zoroastrianism. Was a man named Zoroaster. And he was a prophet. And guess what? He believed in one God. Now, Anthony, I know this is getting a little hard, but think about this. There are people that believe that Zoroaster just came to the existence of one God through the natural light of reason, which is possible. Great men like Socrates, Plato, Aristotle came to that realization. But it also may be that Zoroaster came to belief in one God because of his interaction with the Jewish tradition that comes down through the wise men. And so, Anthony, catch this. So this may be where that prophecy comes in. Among those wise men, it was told there's going to come this Messiah. There's going to be, and there's going to be a star that arises out of Israel. And so when they saw the star, Anthony, the three wise men said, oh my goodness, that's the star that we've been told about for hundreds of years. And so they came following the star, and guess what? They found Jesus. Does that make sense, Anthony?
Yes, it does.
All right, brother. Well, listen.
Can I ask you a question, Anthony?
What?
Do you have any of these wise men at your house?
Well, kind of.
Say yes.
Yeah.
Where are they?
Are they on the front lawn?
Yeah, they're on our front lawn and inside and upstairs.
So by kinda, you mean you got them all over your house?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, Anthony, come on up and pick your present. You know what you're gonna pick?
Maybe.
All right. You can, and Mary, you can come on over and sit in this seat while Anthony is picking his present. Well, Anthony's just looking at himself on TV. Do you want to pick a present, Anthony?
Anthony,
here's the presents right here.
Whatever you want, but you just get one.
And you can have this shrimp noodles. No? Okay.
Tree,
I was only teasing. You don't have to take the shrimp noodles. Take whatever you want.
Take whatever you want.
I'm sorry, Anthony. I was only playing around. I didn't mean to.
Do you want that?
Well, kind of.
Okay, you can have that and another thing, because I've been trying so hard to give that away. Hey, look who's back.
Yes.
It's Mary Keys. Hi, Mary. What, you want to pull that microphone over in front of you?
All right. Mary, Anthony, good job, buddy.
Can you remind us who your dad is? No, not by pointing at him. By telling us.
Father Keys.
Father Keys.
Yes.
And he's our chaplain here. He has a 43 different jobs that he does, and one of the 43 jobs is he's our chaplain here at Catholic Answers. And I'm very glad to see you back here. I don't know if you've met Mr. Staples. This is Mr. Staples. And
do you know, no, I forgot your name.
That's Mary.
Mary, what an awesome name. But do you know what? Do you know that your dad is a hero that guys like me and Jimmy Akin and Trent Horn, all of us look up to? Did you know that?
No.
But
well,
it's true. He's a hero in our faith. He is a priest. And did you hear that, kids? Who does Dad look up to as a hero? These guys in the funny-looking collars. Yes.
I was going to say me, but I kind of knew that was not the answer. Go ahead, Mary. Ask your question.
My question is, why do we have Christmas trees on Christmas?
What a good question. They smell good. I mean, that could be one reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the smell of them.
Yeah. Well, it's a wonderful question. And the reason is that trees were very, very special in the ancient world. And in fact, there's a religion that used to worship trees. Did you know that, Mary?
No.
They actually worshiped gods that were in the trees. And we see it condemned in the book of Jeremiah, where God says, hey, you don't worship trees, okay? That's bad. But there's a certain goodness about seeing trees as a gift from God and so forth. In fact, there's a prophecy in Scripture that says that the Messiah would be hung on a tree, and sometimes the cross is referred to as a tree. So you got basically that the tree is good. It's a good thing. It brings life to us, right? Trees, did you know that trees help us to breathe oxygen?
Yes.
Yes.
You knew that?
Through photosynthesis, so smart, right? So trees have this natural goodness and such, so much so that, like I said, ancient people, some of them actually, they went too far now, Mary, of course, and started worshiping the tree. Well, that idea has been kind of baptized and brought into the church, that a tree symbolizes Christ, even symbolizes his death on the cross, but it also symbolizes new life. And that's why it's really special at Christmas time, because at Christmas time we know God brought us new life through the incarnation, the birth of Jesus. So a tree is a beautiful symbol to symbolize that new life that Jesus brings to us. And we light it up with lights to celebrate Jesus' birthday as well. Does that make sense, Mary?
Yes, it does make sense.
Cool.
And Mary, in your house, when do you put up the Christmas tree?
Well, we did it on last Friday, so.
Oh, you did it on last Friday?
Last Friday.
And then what do you put on the tree?
Well, we're planning on putting the lights on it today.
Oh, beautiful. Very nice.
And then ornaments.
And then ornaments. So you do it in stages as you get closer.
Yeah.
Yep. Beautiful.
Yep. And do we have, is there somebody else that wants to, because I'm going to just sit here and visit with Mary unless somebody else comes in. And with your dad, there's your dad sitting right next to you.
Oh, don't let Luke in. He'll stump me.
So, and I don't know. We got time for a Luke question anyway.
Yeah, I know.
So, Mary, will you go to Mass on Christmas Day?
Yes.
And where will you go to Mass?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Will your dad have anything to do with that Mass?
Do you usually go where your dad goes, or do you?
Yeah, I know where he goes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'll go to St. Augustine of Canterbury.
Yep.
Right?
Right on.
Father Keys, thank you. But you want to bring that microphone over to you? Because I'm...
Oh, sure.
So you ended up with the koala. Mary
chose
a koala.
I'm just holding it for her.
Oh, you're holding it for her. All right. Well, Mary, by the way, you can pick another present if you'd like, Mary. Did Mary fall asleep? We are truly in the coma time now.
I think we are in the sugar coma.
Mary not even climbing out of the chair, sliding to the floor out of the chair. Go ahead and pick whatever you'd like. But Father, thank you very, very much.
Of course.
For coming and doing it. You too, Tim.
Yeah, are we out? No, the time is not
up. Tim does this every time.
It cannot be. We just started, Cy Kellett.
Well, you know what? Since it's the last show before Christmas, I do want to thank you, Edgar, for all of your fine work in making this happen. Thank you, Aaron. I mean, Darren. I don't know why I said Aaron. Now I'm in the sugar
you're just
coma
thinking,
period.
You're thinking Darren, of the little drummer boy. His name was Aaron.
Darren running the board with madness around him for 2 hours. How was that? Are you all right? It was good? All right.
There was a lot of chaos out there.
There was a lot
was
of chaos.
A Nerf battle.
I know. We talked about the Nerf battle a little bit. Did your kid survive it? Did you win the Nerf battle?
All right. I think so.
And then Andrew, who had to keep moving the cameras and doing all that. We really appreciate your work, Andrew. Father, I know it's not your hour, but since we have you here, may we have a blessing for us, ourselves, and our listeners before we go.
Okay.
And also, you're a hero. In addition to being a priest, you're also a hero.
Amen.
According to this.
That's right.
That's an overused term.
Hero?
underused for priests.
Okay, yeah. I appreciate that. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. Thanks to everybody who joined us. We're going to have brand new shows each day next week. Don't worry, we're not abandoning you Christmas week. And it is Christmas week, right, Father? The week after Christmas. That's Catholic Christmas week, right? Are you asleep? He's also in a sugar coma. Oh my God.
I had like one cookie.
All right, we're going to roll all these children and their parents out of the building. The mayhem is over. All of you be gone now. Merry Christmas. We'll see you after Christmas, the day after Christmas, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.